Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!"
Glory, glory, I clap my hands and sing.
Amen. Amen. Well, we serve a mighty God, don't we? He's a great God. I can't help say that every time I hear that song. He's a mighty God. We're coming to you live tonight from Imperial Beach, California. We want to welcome our audience. Want to thank you for tuning in this evening. Amen. And we hope that tonight we can move along in our basic discipleship course. Last week we talked about the Word of God. This week we're going to talk about prayer. And if you've missed the other five programs, you can always go back now and archive those. Or you go to Nathan on the Spot, Blog Talk Radio, and you'll find our space there. It says Sound Doctrine Broadcast. It says Featured Programs, Archives. And you can go down there and you can pick up these programs that you've missed, and you can get caught right up with us. I hope that this evening we can touch some hearts. And really the question is this evening is, how important is prayer? And this is lesson number 6 in our series, How Important is Prayer? And we want to just thank the audience and those who have tuned in around the country and around the world, and those who are listening, those who go back and archive it. When you go back to archive it, we want to thank you for tuning in. We know that 9 o'clock on the East Coast, we're 6 o'clock out here on the West Coast, and there's a little difference, and not everybody can tune in on the East Coast. So, but I know that you will tune in, and you'll come back, and you'll archive these. So we want to thank you for joining us, whether it's by archive or whether you're live with us this evening. And before we get on the air here, you can call the radio station. The number is 347-945-5416. And if you'll press extension 1, you get right into the Nathan on the Spot. We have somebody at the switchboard. They'll be glad to grab your call, give us notice that you're on the line, and we'll talk to you. We'll stop around 6:30, and we'll see where we go from there. And so let's have a prayer, and we'll get this thing fired up while we're sure reading of the Word of God. I have with me this evening a young man, one of our Christian youth of the Imperial Beach Bible Study down here with the church we're planting, the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach. And he's going to assist me this evening. He's 13 years old. He has a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to welcome Brother J.P. Alba also. For those listeners, you've heard him before. He's come on. He's prayed for us, and we've spoken. And tonight he's going to give me a hand bringing forth this message. And Lord willing, we'll all get a blessing. Amen. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bow down before you, Father God, and turn over our hearts and minds and souls and bodies and most importantly, our spirit, Lord. And Lord, if there's anything that would hinder us in our lives, that you would forgive us of those sins, we'd ask this in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would help us tonight to receive the message that you would have us receive. Father God, I ask you to set me aside, Lord, and let nothing come from my flesh during this lesson. And that, Lord, you would bless the listeners. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Now, I know we get talking about prayer and the Lord's Prayer, and you know, there's some things we need to set a background for. And the first thing is that I know that there are many denominations in the world and that go around saying that Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is the Lord's Prayer, but actually, that is not the Lord's Prayer. The disciples went to the Lord and they asked the Lord, how do we teach us how to pray? And he said, pray in this manner. He did not say to pray this prayer. Pray in this manner. And so it's really a blueprint for prayer. Now, if you want to find the Lord's Prayer, I mean, Jesus could not have prayed that prayer in the first place because Jesus was sinless. And so why would he need to be forgiven his trespasses, you see? So if you go to John chapter 17, and I'll give you a chance to get there, we'll take a look at the real Lord's Prayer, the real Lord's Prayer. And he prayed for us in there. He prayed for the believers in there. Amen? I'll give you a chance to get there. You get at John 17:14, the scripture says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. thy word is true. Amen? So the Lord, and if you look at verse 20, Jesus said, the Lord said, neither pray I thee for these alone, the disciples which were with him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. And so the Lord has prayed for the believers, those who would receive the gospel message through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Bible. And that's you and I, my brethren. If you are saved and you're sanctified, you're sealed, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, because Scripture says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. You know, that we find that over in the Gospel of John. And Jesus said, when you look at verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen? So the Lord has set out a way for your salvation. It's through believing in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. And so what I'd like to do tonight is talk about a little bit about prayer and how important prayer is in the Christian's life. And if you're not saved and you're listening, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forth later and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But in our series of lessons on basic doctrine, and this is basic sound doctrine, Bible principles, Bible teachings, and this is lesson number 6, prayer. How important is prayer in my life? And someone once said that a Christian is only as strong as his prayer life. And you know, that makes sense. There's a great deal of truth in that, because prayer is simply your direct communication with God. And when you read the Bible, God speaks to you. And when you pray, you're speaking to God. So your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ cannot grow without proper communication. You see, you have friends and you have families and you have husbands and you have wives and you have brothers and you have sisters, and you can't effectively communicate to them unless you can speak to them, for the most part. And I'm not talking about those who are disabled. I'm talking about generally in life. We communicate with each other, and we communicate through words. And that's how we communicate with God. God does not need a special prayer language to hear you. He doesn't need you to speak in tongues that only allegedly he can hear and the devil can't hear. I mean, you know, how much of that scriptural? We're not going to get into that tonight. But how important is prayer? And so that's really the question. So the purpose of this lesson, as we set the foundation here, is just to acquaint you with the basics of a proper prayer life, so that these guidelines, as we lay them down, or these lines of communication, can be open in your life, so you can have an effective prayer life and be effective in your prayers in communicating with God, with God. Now, I want you to know something. If you just go to the Old Testament with me, the Lord just put something on my heart about communications and prayers. And if you'll just take a walk with me down, we'll go to Nehemiah. And let's take a look at Nehemiah. I think Nehemiah is one of the greatest examples of a quick prayer. And I'm just laying this foundation just to give you a thought. Just to give you a thought in your heart. Okay? If you go to the book of Nehemiah, it comes right after the book of Ezra and just before Esther. And Nehemiah chapter 2. Chapter 2. And you know, Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king, Artaxerxes. And Nehemiah would bring the wine or whatever the king was drinking, and he would have to taste it first, because if it was poisoned, the cupbearer would die. And so it was a sense of responsibility. And so here we have Nehemiah, and the scripture says in 2:1, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and this is Nehemiah speaking, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And then I was very sore afraid. So he went up to the king, And the king saw that he was saddened. It was on his face. And when the king asked him why he is sad, well, you know, the king has authority to execute someone. And so he said he got afraid. He was sore afraid. And verse 3 says, and said unto the king, now here's what Nehemiah said, and said unto the king, live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So King Artaxerxes says to him, well, what do you want? What can I do for you? What do you make a request? Now notice the end of verse 4. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight. Now, I want you to notice at the end of verse 4 that Nehemiah said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah did not sit down, get on his knees, get in a position of prayer. He did not prostrate himself on the ground. He did not kneel down. He simply said a prayer in his heart. And the prayer was probably, Lord, give me favor and wisdom. And then he said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. So he prayed that little prayer real quick. The king said, well, what can I do for you? And Nehemiah said he prayed. Well, he didn't stop the king. And the king didn't see him praying, but he prayed in his heart. And God knew his heart. And then he said unto the king, if it pleased the king, he explained the problem. And so the reason why I brought you there is because I want you to understand that communication in prayer is not some elaborate formula. We don't have an elaborate formula. I mean, if you want a formula, you can go to Matthew, and you can look at what when the Lord was teaching the disciples to pray. He said, our Father who art in heaven, you know, glorify God when you open your prayer. Hallowed be thy name, of course. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth and as it is in heaven. Well, when will that take place? During the millennium reign? Amen? And that could, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, Lord, fill our needs. Listen, I don't need bread. My refrigerator and my bread box is full of bread. What I need, Lord, is help for my family. That's my daily bread. Help me with my sustenance, Lord, and all the things I need. And that's what you pray for. And then you end the prayer glorifying the Lord. Now, if you're a Christian, you do everything in the Lord Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you see? Because it's not abracadabra, but you're saying, Lord, Father God, I am asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen? In Jesus' name. Because of my relationship to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we pray as Christians in the name of Jesus. Amen? So the purpose of this lesson, again, we just want to acquaint you with some basics of proper prayer life. And if you're a new Christian, you need to know these things. It'll make your prayer life stronger, and it'll help you along the way. As I said before, I have Brother J.P. Alba with me, and he's going to help me along here. We're going to read some scriptures and things together. And as we go along, you'll just be able to read them. But so, number one, we're talking about what is the purpose of prayer. That's the first part. If you wanted to make an outline tonight on a piece of paper, you would start out with outline number one, and number one would be a question, what is the purpose of prayer? Now, under there you could put A, what it's not. It's not to move God, okay, for you, or to change his mind. Listen, you're not praying to ask God to change his mind. It's for you to be conformed to his will. I want to be conformed to your will, okay? A proper prayer life results in peace of heart and mind. Let me say that again. It is not to move God for you or to change his mind. You want the will of God fulfilled in your life. If you want God to come off of the direction of the will of God for your life, you could get in trouble. So a proper prayer life results in peace of heart and peace of mind. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says this, Brother Albert.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Did you get that? Be careful for nothing. What are you worrying about? That's what the Lord's asking you tonight. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. To be careful means to be full of care, to be worrisome. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? And then what will happen? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, you'll get this peace in your heart, and you'll say, wow, I'm in such turmoil in my life, and I prayed, and I have peace in my heart. I don't understand how I can have peace in my heart. Well, it says, Scripture says that peace will pass all understanding, and it'll keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Okay? Here's another thing. Here's another purpose for prayer. It's to draw you close to God so he can prove his sufficiency for your every need, for your every need. So God is active in every detail of the Christian life, and he knows exactly what you and I need even before we ask. We don't come to God and say, Lord, I need this, and God say, oh, what a surprise. Oh, Peter needs this. Tack the venture and he's at. JP needs this. No, God already knows what you need. Amen? And so God, who is active in every detail of your life, knows what you need. Listen to what Matthew 6:8 says, brother.
Be not ye therefore like unto them. Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
Amen. You know, he's talking about those Pharisees. Don't be like them, he said. Your Father knoweth already the things you have need of before you even ask him. So God allows needs to come into your life so he can meet them. So in other words, we're not talking about wants. We all have wants. But we're talking about needs, things that you and I need in our life to survive as a Christian, things that we need in our lives to fulfill the will of God and his plan of glory for each one of us. And so God already knows that. Listen to Psalm 50, verse 15.
And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Amen. Listen, when God delivers a Christian who's in trouble from the enemies of Christ, God gets glory. He is glorified in heaven. Scripture says he takes pleasure in taking vengeance on them that know not God, that trouble you. And if somebody's troubling you because you're a Christian, well, then God's going to deal with them. Amen? You bring it to the Lord. He said, I will deliver thee. You shall glorify. When? In the day of trouble. Well, the day of trouble isn't necessary, Lord. You know, the Islamists are beating my door down. Lord, you know, an unlawful government's after me. But, you know, the day of trouble could be, Lord, I need food today. I need money in my wallet today. Lord, my car broke down. And these are the simple everyday needs in the Christian life. Lord, I need a pair of shoes. Lord, my children are getting ready to go to school and they need clothes. Amen? And God will fulfill your needs. But the most dangerous time in your prayer life, do you know when that really is? That's when all your needs are met, you see? Because then you have need of nothing. And what happens to Christians is they become complacent. God has blessed them with all the things they needed, and now they lose focus of God, you see? Well, they don't need God anymore. What do we need God for? Because we have everything we need. And that's a dangerous place to be in your life, my Christian brother. When you have all your needs, you should be mindful that it is God who supplied them. And thank God for that, because he who gave them can take them away, too. Amen? Revelation chapter 3. Verses 16 and 7 says,
so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
Amen. Gee, you know, that's in Revelation. That's the church of our time. That's the church period. That's the late, there's the church age. But that's also the Christians of our time. The Lord says, because you're lukewarm, you're not hot or cold. You know, there are Christians that make God sick. He wants to puke them out. They make them sick. They're not a savor in his mouth. They're not a savor of a sacrifice, of a sweet smell. They're lukewarm. They're neither hot or cold. They're religious. So God uses those needs in our lives to draw you to a place where he can bless you and reveal to you that what your most important need as a Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. And you say, well, what about grace? Well, you know, grace, you go to the throne of God, he even said, to get grace. The Bible teaches us that there's grace to sing, grace to give, grace to pray, grace to help, and whatever you need grace for, you go to the throne of God. Amen? And so God can give you grace. And the most important, simplest need for every Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. You know, there's a classic example of this, and this is tremendously important. It's a very important principle. And this is Paul's thorn in his flesh. Paul had that thorn in his flesh. And if I can call on Brother Albert to read that for us, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10.
At lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen. Do you get what Paul's saying here? Paul's saying, listen, three times I prayed unto the Lord to take this thorn out of my side. Now, that thorn could have been his eyes. Some people say it was his eyes because at the end of one of the epistles, he says, you see how big of a letter I have written. And it's really a small letter. And so it appears that he had written using large letters. But we're not quite sure whether it was Paul's eyes or it was not. But there was a thorn sent to him. And God allowed this problem in his life to humble him. And when Paul cried out to the Lord three times to take it away from me, God told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. You see, when you're weak, then you're strong. Amen? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, why? Because we call upon the name of the Lord when we're weak, when we're sick, when we're infirm, when we're oppressed. That's why I said earlier, you have to be careful that when all your needs are met, you don't forget God. And that's why it's absolutely essential for you as Christians to give thanks for everything, especially the needs in difficult times of your life. God will fulfill the needs, all of them. And you want to be grateful. People say, well, I got to be grateful I broke my leg. Hey, listen, amen, thank God you broke your leg. Who knows, maybe tomorrow you've been driving a car and a truck would have run you over. I don't know. God knew the plan for you. But thank God that I broke my leg, and Lord, I know that it's all going to work out to your grace. Amen? Hallelujah. I can't see the road ahead. Listen, if God showed each and every one of us what was going to happen next week, we all stop doing anything. We just sit in a corner and be afraid. I mean, this thing's coming. But thank God that the grace of God and the sufficiency of his power is strong enough for us. When you get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the scripture says,
in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
So this is why, as Christian men and women, boys and girls, that it's absolutely essential to develop a solid, consistent attitude where your first response, your first reaction, the first thing you do in a difficult situation is to go to God in prayer. Listen, most unsaved people do it. They're driving down the road and they get a blowout on the highway. What's the first thing they say? Oh, God. Amen? Well, you know, they're sinners. But you're not. and you have a relationship with the Lord. And the first thing out when you have a difficulty or a problem, no matter how small and no matter how big, is to go to the Lord. Sometimes I have trouble opening jars in the kitchen. And I'll pray about it. So you don't know, I need help opening this jar. Then the jar will open. God will help me. Sometimes he'll tell me, listen, dummy, go get that thing your wife has in the drawer that you put over the cap and you turn it. Flip the jar upside down and tap it. Stop fighting with it. I mean, God give a fellow wisdom. Amen? And if he's going to look out for me in the little things, he's going to look out for you in the big things. The problem is we get so busy in our lives that we just don't hear God. I can remember a time walking and seeing a paperclip on the ground. And the Lord put it on my heart, picked that paperclip up. And I didn't need a paperclip. But later on that day, I needed a paperclip. Well, God knew that I needed that paperclip. And because I listened to God, I had that paperclip. And it was convenient. But God's just showing me that he's involved in the little things in my life. And if he's involved in little things, he's involved in the big things. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. People say, well, how do I pray without ceasing? I can't be in prayer every minute. Well, you can be prayerful. You can be prayerful. I mean, you could be walking down the street and hearing an ambulance go up the street. You can pray that God deliver those people that are driving that ambulance safe and whoever they're going to rescue, you know, that, you know, Lord, have your hand in it. Amen? I mean, you can be in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the sun, the moon, the stars. Amen? And be grateful. So I guess one of the questions I often get from Christians is, they'll say, Dr. Ventura, how do I pray? How do I pray? Well, first, you know, if you read Romans 8, 26 through 27, it makes it clear that we don't always know how to pray or what to pray for. And that's why the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you is able to intercede for you in prayer. But I want you to know there's some basic guidelines. Number one, prayer always. Pray always. Develop a lifestyle of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't be a repeater of the same words. You know, I hear people say, oh, Father God, I need a call. Oh, Father God, brother so-and-so say, oh, Father God, oh, Father, listen, God knows you're the Father. We address them, Lord, Father God. You don't have to repeat. You don't have to say the same words over and over again as some religions teach. Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, our Father, who art in heaven, our Father, who art. Listen, that's not a prayer. Matthew 6:7 says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Oh, God, I need a car. Oh, God, I need a car. Oh, God, I need a car. And listen, why don't you ask the Lord for the car, and you can go back and ask the Lord for a car. You can ask the Lord for a car several times. You can ask the Lord for a car many times, but don't do it in a vain repetition. You know, if you got rosary beads and you're doing a rosary, that's a vain repetition. John 15:13-14 says, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. You see that little word, if you do it. If you don't do it, you're not a friend. Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a younger man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Proverbs 18:24. A man that has friends must shew himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that friend, my friends, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we as Christians, we need to realize that we have a direct contact, a direct line to the Lord. You don't need to go to any other man to talk to God. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, well, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the priest. No, it doesn't say the priest. It says the man, Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator. I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to go to my pastor. I don't have to go to my friends. I can go to the Lord directly. God deals direct. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Okay, well, if I'm regarding iniquity in my heart, if I'm holding sin in my heart and I haven't confessed it, then it puts a block between the Lord and I. It'll separate my relationship with God until I confess that sin. And then once I confess that sin, then the Lord cleanses me, and we're back on the same place. We have an open relationship. You know, another thing that can hinder your relationship is an unforgiving spirit. So Matthew 6:14-15.
For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Well, think about that for a minute. Now, I understand, you know, those of you who are doctrinally correct are going to say, well, you know, Pastor Ventura, Dr. Ventura, that's talking to a Jew, and that's under the law. Well, the principle, there's a spiritual application there. I'm not forgiven by how I forgive J.P. Alba, and J.P. Alba's not forgiven by how he forgives me. But we are commanded to forgive one another, and if we're not forgiving one another, then we're in sin. Amen? And so the principle exists. A Jew was under works, and he must forgive, or God would, you know, that would reflect back on him. And so, and besides, unforgiveness will cause a root of bitterness in your heart, and it'll poison your whole system. Better to forgive somebody and get on down the road. Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended. All right, here's another thing. Bitterness toward other people and family members. There's another hindrance. Look at Brother J.P., 1 Peter 3:7.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, you're heirs. You're heirs together of the grace of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, here's another thing that won't get your prayers. You won't get your prayers answered if you're not asking. You're not asking. If you're dishonoring your wife, then you're in sin. Here's another thing. Not asking. James 4:2.
Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not.
All right. Amen. Hey, listen. You want something. You're lusting after it. You're willing to kill for it. Look at the countries where they're killing each other for oil and they're killing each other for food and they're killing each other over money and they have a desire to have something but they can't get it and they're fighting and there's wars going on and you know what God said? You still don't have it. Why? Because you didn't ask. It's as simple as that. You have not because you ask not. Why don't you go to the Lord and ask? And the Lord will give it to you. Proverbs 21:13 says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Listen, if you're not helping people who are less fortunate than you in life, don't expect God to help you. Why should God bless you with much riches and when you were poor, and then you're not blessing somebody else? That's a stink in the nostrils of God. Now, here's another reason to get your prayers unanswered. Insensitivity to the word of truth, insensitivity to the word of God. Proverbs 28:9.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
Okay, now and I understand, again, doctrinally Old Testament under the law, but there's a spiritual truth and principle to that. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Listen, if you're not listening to God's word, well, what happens? Then even your prayer God doesn't want to hear. Listen. People think that to show God I love you, I'm going to stop smoking, I'm going to stop drinking, I'm going to stop, and right, you should. You should do all those things. It doesn't make you any more holy. It may make you a better witness for Christ, amen? And people say that, you know, well, I've given up this, and I've listened. The Lord said, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, obey me. If you want to show God you love him, obey him. Obey him. And so he that turneth away from hearing the law, the word of God, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now, let's kind of switch gears here a little bit. I'm going to I'm going to give some callers an opportunity to call in if they like. The number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. And if you press number one, you'll come on to the extension. You'll get into the host queue. Brother John Hill, Nathan on the Spot, is there at the switchboard. He'll be more than happy to take your call and put you through, and be more than happy to speak with you if you have any questions. In the meantime, we're going to take a few seconds here, and then we'll get back to the lesson. And if you know if you're radio shy, it's okay. We understand. If you're archiving this because it's too late of an hour to hear it on the East Coast tonight, well, you know, I understand. You can still reach me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter@gmail. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. Amen. There are there's four basic types of prayer, and we'll run across them pretty quick. I know we started the broadcast a little late this evening. We're allotted a two-hour time. I think that a long lesson is over 20 minutes is a good sermon anyway, and an hour lesson in classwork is, you know, after 40 minutes, people start losing concentration, and it has to be spiritual. So if you just keep that prayed up in your heart, the Lord would just give you the wisdom and understanding and the stamina to continue spiritually in this lesson. But there's four types of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1 says,
I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
Amen. All right, so here's the four kinds of prayers. Right there in 1 Timothy 2:1, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, a supplication is a specific request. Philippians 4:6 says to let your requests be made known unto God. You know, too many prayers are wasted because they're too general. Well, God, I need money. Listen, I and I'm not going to hide it from you, and I hope you'll join me in the prayer. You know, the Lord is building a church here in Imperial Beach, California. There's a piece of property down off of Industrial Boulevard we've been looking at, and we need $1 million, no question about it. We're not asking the audience for $1 million. We know that if it's God's will and God's vision, He'll supply it. And we've come to God, and we're specific. God, we need $1 million. Hey, man, God, I need a new car. God, I need a car. God, I need shoes. God, I need bread. God, I need food. Amen? And so be specific. Don't be around the bush with God. He already knows what you need. Here's the second kind. I mean, you know, you can go to God and say, Lord, give me a blessing. Well, what blessing? How do you want God to bless you? Why don't you tell Him? Well, I need some clothes. I need a new computer. I need $163 to pay this week's rent. You'd be surprised. God might give you right to the dollar. It's happened before. Here's another prayer. Prayers. It says supplication prayers. Prayer is conversation. And it's just rational one-on-one conversation between you and God. We studied that in Nehemiah. Intercessions. Well, an intercession is where you pray for somebody else. Or you stand in the middle between two people and pray. You intercede. You intercede. Lord, I have a member of the church, and he's having problems with his wife, and the husband's having problems with the wife's having problems with the husband, the children's not doing this thing, you're carding that. You intercede. God, I'm asking you to bless him. Giving a thanks. Psalm 104 makes it clear that we enter the presence of God through thanksgiving and praise. Amen. I will enter the giving in my heart. I will enter, right? Isn't that the name? How it's sung? Psalm 104. And so as we go along, those are some of the things that the scripture says that you need to know. You need to know that there are those four types of prayer: supplication, prayers, intercessions, right? And giving of thanks. Most people don't thank God enough. You get up in the morning and you figure, well, I'm supposed to have two eyes, and I'm supposed to have two ears, and I'm supposed to have two legs. Hey, listen, if you got all that, you got blessed. You ought to thank God for that. There's a lot of people in the world who's never seen a color, never heard a voice, and never did anything wrong to anybody. It's just a hand that was dealt to them in life. But Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth, that's his word, endureth for all generations. All right? And then there's another thing that will help you. Tell them, Brother JP, what's a good idea for them to do?
One good thing is you can make a list that will help you remember what to pray for. Otherwise, your prayer life will not be consistent.
All right. So keep track of your prayer requests. That's what Brother Al was telling you. You know, keeping a list of answered prayers, that's also important. And that will reinforce, your faith in God's ability to answer your prayers. You're going to learn something from God. You're going to say, you know what? I have a prayer list. Listen, I have a prayer list somewhere here, right here in my Bible. I was showing the church the other day that somebody wrote. It's a prayer request, and I've had it with me for many, many years, and I've been praying it. And you know what? Some of it, I don't have a burden to pray anymore. It was written by one person, and one was for spiritual growth. And hey, listen, I know that person's always going to need spiritual growth because we all do. And so, you know, I continue to pray these prayers. But there are times when I prayed for people for God would heal them or help them financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and God has helped them. And you know what? If you make a list, just don't go blindly to God and say, you know, God, bless brother so-and-so, brother Joe, and bless brother Bill and sister Karina. And, you know, listen, why don't you be specific with God and say, you know, God, Lord, could you please bless sister Elizabeth who needs a car? Please bless brother J.P. Alba. He needs $1 million. Whatever it is, just ask God. And don't be afraid to ask God because God's resources are unlimited. Don't keep God in a box. Here's another thing you can do. You can pray with others, right? Brother J.P., what's Matthew 18:20 say?
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
Amen. Hey, wherever two or three are gathered, the Lord's there. That's a church meeting. And you know what? There's always two or three gathered right in you. Aren't you the temple of God? And inside you is the Holy Spirit. And you meet with the Holy Spirit and have prayer. There's two witnesses right there. Two. Wherever two or three are gathered together. But in brothers and fellowship, wherever there's two or three gathered together, I'm in the midst. And you need to recognize the importance of that prayer. Most churches have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And they come together and they pray for the needs. On Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, they have a visitation hour. And they pray before they go out. And they have a week, a woman's prayer service and a meeting. And so in preparation of special meetings or your anniversary or holidays or sometimes the churches will hold a 24-hour prayer vigil. And, at our church, in the Bible Believers Baptist Church in Imperial Beach, we see miracles. We've seen prayers answered in magnificent ways because we're a praying church. We have a prayer box. And Tuesday night, not only do we have an opportunity to ask for prayer, but we have a box that has a little index card in there. It's a prayer request, and you can fill that out. And when you fill out that prayer request, what happens is that, I'll take that prayer request and I pray for the people. Amen? All right? So here's some basic questions. Here's some basic questions, okay? Number one is, does God answer all my prayers? Does God answer all my prayers? Well, what do you think, Brother JP? Does God answer all their prayers?
Yes, but not always in the way you may want Him to, or at the time you want Him to. As we learned in the lesson in lesson one, God is your heavenly Father, and His ways are always perfect. There will be times when His infinite wisdom, the best answer to prayer will be no or not now in those times, and that's okay. Just simply trust Him.
Hey, that's right, brother. Amen. Amen. We just trust God. I mean, hey, listen, God answers prayers, okay? Yes, no, not now. but he always answers the prayers. And sometimes if God was to give you something now, it might not be as good as something that you'd want in the future. Remember Abraham. Abraham wanted a child. God had promised one. His wife had a better idea. They ended up with Ishmael. Look what we have in the world today. Ishmael's a wild man. His hand's against every man, and every man's hand's against him. Just take a look in the Middle East. You see what's going on. And so, but had he waited upon the Lord, he could have gone back and said, Lord, you promised me this child. The Lord would have said, wait. Wait, Abraham, wait. But he didn't wait. And so what happened? Well, he ended up with, you know, Ishmael. But the truth is, thank God that God blessed him in waiting. Later, he repented of that and he waited, and God gave him Isaac. And Isaac was greater than the vision that he had. He wanted an heir. Abraham wanted an heir to all that he owned. His camels, his tents. Listen, Abraham was, he had a lot. He had a lot. You know, Job was blessed. Job had hundreds, thousands of camels. Job had a trucking company. Amen? And Abraham was blessed. But Abraham didn't wait on the Lord. But then when he finally got that thing right and he waited, God blessed him with Isaac. Now look at the blessing of Isaac. The Messiah came through the bloodline of Isaac. And so if you just wait upon the Lord, don't take things in your own hands. Just wait. God will open the door that needs to be opened in your life when the time is right. God's timing is perfect. He's outside of time. You can see today, and you can see tomorrow, and you can remember yesterday. But you can't see the future unless you're reading the Bible and it's in prophecy. You know, I hear people saying all the time, we have prophets in our church. Hey, listen, everybody in the church is a prophet. Do you tell people that Jesus Christ is coming? Do you tell people that the Bible says, the Word of God says? Well, that's what a prophet does. He tells forth the Word of God. And the Word of God says that one day Armageddon is going to happen. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back. There's a rapture. One day there's a millennial reign. And do you tell people that one day there's a judgment and they need to receive Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior? They're going to end up the judge. Then you're a prophet too. All Christians are prophets. Who gave somebody special prophet holdings here? Tell us. So I guess the question is this. We'll wind this down. How important is it for you and I, as Christians, to pray for other people? How important is it? Well, Paul prayed continually. Romans 1:9. And Paul requested prayer on a lot of occasions. Okay? Romans 1:9 says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, they were always on his heart. They were always on his mind. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Mention of you always in my prayers. And that's an important thing. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for men like Paul. Amen? What would we do without men like Paul? It's really a true blessing. Now, Brother, would you read for us Hebrews 13:18?
Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly.
Hey, Paul says, pray for us. Pray for us that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. 2 Thessalonians 3:1.
Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you.
Amen. The people of Thessalonians received the word of God. So here's a prayer. Paul says, pray for us. And you should pray for your pastor. You should pray for your brothers in Christ. You should pray for the deacons, that God's word would have free course in whatever town you're in, whatever country you're in, whatever city you're in. Lord, open the door that your word would have free course. Lord, I'm praying for the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, that the word of God would have free course through them. Hallelujah. Amen. All right? Samuel said it was a sin against God not to pray for others. That's what Samuel said. Where do you say that, brother?
Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way.
Oh, amen. See? Hey, he said, God forbid that he'd sin against the Lord if he didn't pray for you by ceasing, by stopping to pray for others. You're to pray for others. I have trouble reading the newspaper, listening to the news. I constantly have to pray for other people. Hey, man. Now, listen, if you don't know how to pray, I'm going to invite you to do something right now. Open your book up to your Bible, to the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to show you a little prayer here. And if you pray this prayer is according to the Word of God. You don't have to pray this prayer, but I'm just saying if you're new and you're beginning in Christ and you don't really know what to pray for a brother in Christ, well, here's a good prayer. Paul prayed a prayer, and you can substitute your name in this prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not changing the Word of God. And you know that this prayer is going to be answered because it's according to the will of God. You're not praying outside of the will of God. But look at Ephesians chapter 1. Paul said in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Well, who's you? So how about we pray for JP, and we say here that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto JP the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of JP's understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Amen? What's wrong with that prayer? There's nothing wrong with that. You're praying for the brothers, his eyes of understanding to be enlightened. Here, look at Philippians chapter 1. And this I pray, verse 9, that your love, how about we pray for my wife? And this I pray, that Marilyn's love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that Marilyn may approve things that are excellent, that Marilyn may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Amen. Hey, there's a prayer. What's wrong with that prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, God's going to answer that prayer. It's according to his word. And you ought to pray not for things that are against the word of God, but things that are in accordance to the word of God, for your needs. And sometimes God will bless you with more than you need. And when he does, be grateful. Don't forget him for it. Don't say, oh, well, life goes on. Amen. Right, brother?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. I hope that the you've gotten something out of this. What do you think, brother?
Keep at it. Keep praying, because the full results of your prayers will never be known completely in his life.
Amen. Okay, so you're never going to know the full result of our prayers. We're praying. You know, there's a spiritual battle going on. Daniel prayed for 21 days, and God dispatched the angel to Daniel, and there was spiritual opposition. The prince of Persia, the devil, stood up against him, and the angel had to call Michael the archangel to assist him so he could reach Daniel. And so, hallelujah. Keep praying. It took 21 days. Keep praying. Next week, we're going to cover lesson number 7 in this series. And the lesson number 7 is the local church. What is a local church? And what's the purpose of your involvement as a Christian in your local church? Why do you need a local church? Why do you go? Why can't we just all just stay home and pray? Hey, man, what's the purpose of the local church? And we're going to get to it. We're going to find out what a local church is. And I assure you, it's not a building. And it's not a denomination or a congregation. Amen? We're going to find out what it is when we get there next week. And I'd like to thank the listeners. There are some people I would ask prayer for. I'd ask prayer for Randy. I would ask prayer for Doc's wife, Sister Lois, and Pastor Wetzel, and Pastor Fisher, and Brother Jordan, and Scott and Angelica and all the brothers and sisters of the Bible Believers Baptist Church in Imperial Beach, that you'd pray for our track ministry, and that we would be able to turn hearts and to continue to bless people. I'd like to thank my wife for the encouragement and making sure that, you know, we're always on time here, and that, you know, this is it's good to have a virtuous woman, and thank God he's blessed me with a virtuous woman. And if you're single and you need a woman, just trust the Lord. He'll bring you one. Amen. When it's of the Lord, it's right. And so I'd like to thank the listeners. I'd like to thank Nathan on the spot. And Joe, if you're out there in North Carolina, and Brother Andrew, we want to thank you for tuning in. And
I'd like to thank you for having me today, Peter.
Oh, well, you're welcome, Brother JP. We want to thank Brother JP for coming on tonight and spending time with us and sharing. And you know, we're looking forward to him teaching one of these courses on one of these nights, perhaps next week or the week after. We're not quite sure, but I'm sure he can do it. He's learning sound doctrine. And remember, we're talking about young men, you know, who are walking in the Lord. And so we're glad that we were able to share this message with you this evening. We hope you were blessed by the message. And I'm going to turn this thing over to Nathan. Brother Nathan, it's all yours. God bless you. Holy Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this time that you've given us, and ask you to bless the listeners and that this word would touch their hearts, Lord, and it would stay with them through the week. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
When times are hard, I can always count.